You have your Bibles this morning, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 28. Again, thank you for all of our guests that are here today. Brother and sister Michael and Patty Caton are with us, worshiping with us today. Can we give them a hand and just make sure they feel welcome today? Amen. Lord bless them today. As we mentioned in the video, we had, you know, this building, and we traced some history back to the Dunkin' Donuts location and then to a place out on West Winona across from the old marsh. But in the business meeting, Brother Jeff Rohr was able to fill in some blanks for us. And there's the original building was actually out about a mile and a half from my house. I went by it last week. He told me where it was, a little country church. And man, there's a lot of history in this church. There's a lot of history of it predates the merger of the UPC. It's been here a long time. There's been a lot of seed planted. There's been a lot of seed planted in this area. I'm believing God for a harvest. Hallelujah. I'm believing God for a harvest. Amen. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. For just a few moments today, I want to speak on this subject, a firm foundation. Would you pray with me one more time? Lord, we ask you to be in these next few moments. You've met us here in our worship. You've met us here, God, as we created an atmosphere for you to dwell in. But God, we've come to this moment where your word is now open, and we pray, God, that our hearts would be ready to receive your word. I pray, Lord, that you can speak into somebody's life today that needs to hear your words. We trust you to do this. The power of your spirit is in this room, and we trust you for this, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated today. A firm foundation. Isaiah said it that way. I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a stone that's bore the test of time, a sure foundation. Peter, when he was alluding to this scripture in 1 Peter 2 and 6, he said it like this, wherefore it's contained in scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So we know that Peter is now naming that cornerstone. Paul makes it even a little more clear in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. He says, now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So you're fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and it's very plain here, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Scripture is telling us who that cornerstone is that Isaiah was talking about. Isaiah was saying that I'm laying for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, and a sure foundation. Peter, of course, alludes to it, but Paul just gets right to the point. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And in the Beatitudes, this sermon that Jesus preached so eloquently over many chapters in the book of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus is speaking and he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, which let me go ahead and just make a point here today that it's not enough just to hear the word of God. It's not enough to see the word of God in front of you. He says, if you hear these sayings and you do them. Later on, he says, be not just a hearer of the word, but be a doer also. We've got a responsibility to not just hear the word. We need to hear the word. But there needs to be a response from us that says, I'm going to respond to the word of God, and I will do what the word of God tells me to do. He says, if you'll do that, if that's what you do, I'm going to liken you unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And we know this story, verse 25. Or therefore, whosoever, yeah, it says he's built his house upon a rock. And if you go to the next scripture, it talks about the wind coming and the flood coming and the winds blowing and beating on that house and the rain descending. And the Bible says it fell not because it was founded upon a rock. A foundation that was sure. A foundation that was complete. It was a sure foundation. That's the reason the house didn't fall. In fact, if you go on a little further in this passage of Scripture, he said, but if you don't hear my word and do my word, then you're going to be likened unto a man who built his house upon the sand. And that same house, listen, it was the same type of house. The only thing different we know is the foundation. And the same rain came and descended on that house. And the same flood came that descended on the first house. And the same wind blew that blew on that first house. The only difference was the first one had a sure foundation and the other one was built on sand that shifted. We got to have a firm foundation in our walk with God. I've come to remind somebody today, if you can have a sure foundation under you, the Word of God, the walk with God that you can have, the relationship with God that's available for you today will go through any storm for you. It will supersede anything that comes against you. It doesn't matter. Listen, it rained on both houses. We know Scripture tells us that it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. It's not a matter of if it will rain or if it will blow. Or if it will flood, it will. You are going to experience rain and you'll experience flooding and wind in your life. It's inevitable for you not to have that. But if you can have a foundation that's firm on the Word of God and a walk with God that can't be shaken, it doesn't matter what wind blows and what direction it comes from, you will be safe with a firm foundation. This truth has been a part of songs in our worship for years. There's a few songs, and I won't ask Brother Randy to come back because then he has to find keys that I weirdly go into. The first one is one maybe more recent. It says, Christ is our sure foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad. I put my faith in Jesus. Why? Because he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why should he fail now? It's my favorite part. He won't. He won't. Christ is our sure foundation, the rock on which we stand. We've got to have a sure foundation in our life. We're going to experience storms. We're going to go through some things in our life. And if we don't have a firm foundation, it doesn't matter the type of house you, it doesn't matter how immaculate your house is. If your foundation is suspect, you're going to lose what you've invested. Here's a little bit older song. Maybe you'll recognize. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of his praise. Hallelujah. I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. You got to have a foundation today. You got to have something underneath you today. It can't be built on just being faithful to a Sunday morning service. It cannot be built with just saying a few words in prayer once a week. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've got to have a firm foundation that's not shaken when adversity comes your way. I'll stop after this one. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. There is nothing in this world that will support like the relationship with God will. When you go through loss in family and you go through loss in finances and when you go through frustration and hurt, when you go through things in your life, there's nothing that can sustain you like a walk with God. I don't know how you would be able to walk through this life without a relationship with Jesus Christ. I would lose my mind. When I go through things and I don't have the answer for, I can simply go to him and say, I'm going to cast my cares on you because you told me I could. We've got a firm foundation today if we'll make sure it's there. It's our responsibility. It's available. The cornerstone is there for us if we will allow it to be built on. Firm foundation. But there are times, even on a firm foundation, when it feels like things are shifting. Even when I'm standing on a firm foundation, it feels like things are shifting. Where there's a soft spot in that floor and it feels like maybe I might fall through. There are times when we feel like things are moving. We go through a trial or we go through a storm and it seems like we don't really have good footing. Like something doesn't seem quite right. There are times when it feels like things are moving, even when you're on firm ground. Most of you know, my wife and I went on a cruise just a couple weeks ago. She tried to get me to go for years. I said no for years because I can't swim. Like that's really going to matter if we wreck in the ocean. I finally gave in to peer pressure. We went on a cruise. Beautiful time, beautiful weather. I trusted it felt, you know, the boat was so big, it really didn't even feel like you were out in the ocean. So I just tried not to think about it, right? The fact that we're surrounded by water. I had a good time, but I did very quickly acquaint myself with where the lifeboats were and where all the jackets were that you could put on. I was ready to grab three or four if necessary, just in case. And really, I didn't really have a problem, but until every day the captain would come on and he would say, we are so-and-so longitude and latitude and we're sailing at so many knots and this is the direction that we're heading. And this is how deep the water is. Why don't we just leave that part out? I don't need to know. I could drown. Really, it doesn't matter. I can drown in 6 feet of water, probably four. I can't swim. But just tell me we're almost dragging bottom. I'll feel better. But no, he would say, we're at 5,700 feet. That's a long way. You can't. Even a good swimmer, I would think, probably isn't going to have time to get to the bottom and push off and come back. I'm guessing. I don't know. But there was a little bit of unease every time he told us how deep that water was. And the first night at dinner, we had kind of pulled away from port finally, and we're sitting in the restaurant, and you could start to feel it rock a little bit. I thought, well, maybe it's my imagination. Until I saw other people kind of looking around, like, oh, it's moving a little bit. And so when the waitress came by, we talked to her and said, oh, it feels a little like it's rocking. She goes, oh, this was nothing. Last week, we had plates breaking and falling off everything. And I said, how far is the port? Can I get back to the port? But when you begin to feel a little uneasy, because when you've not been on a boat like that before, you get a little nauseous. You're not really sure what's going on. And they said the best thing that you can do is go fix your eyes on the horizon. That fixed point out there, because everything else is kind of moving, but that horizon won't move. And so if you look out at the horizon, it will kind of settle some things a little bit. And it did. It helped. I got used to it. I'm sure I got sea legs. I'm sure I'm a professional now. I won't have any problems. You got used to it, walking down the hallway on the way to the room, and you just kind of walk like this, you know, as you move. You don't realize it, but everything's moving a little bit. But you get out and you look at the horizon, it settles everything down because there's a fixed point that you know is not moving. So I did all right throughout the cruise, got used to it. But then we got off the boat. I got onto pavement. And we were walking, I don't know if we had gotten to the airport yet or not, I don't know, we were just off the boat, and I found myself doing this. And I promise you, we didn't have the drink package, all right? I literally would, every now and then, it would just be like, it felt like the ground was moving. And I thought, maybe I'm the only one, but then everybody I was talking to said, no, that's kind of normal. You'll feel that for a couple days. I said, well, that's really weird, because this is solid. It's not going anywhere. But I feel like I'm falling to the left, and I'm falling to the right. A friend of mine that went on the trip with us 2 days later said he fell into the wall at his house. Because it just happened as he was going down the hallway. And I thought, well, this is interesting. I'm going to research it. It seems a little odd to me. So I did a little research. And it's a real thing. It's called MALDI debarkment syndrome. MDDS. It's a disorder that makes you feel like you're moving when you're not. It says it's common after traveling, especially by boat. It's a disorder that makes your body react as if it's moving when reality is there's nothing moving at all. The same thing is supposed to help. Put your eyes on the horizon. It's supposed to settle all that down because your body will begin to play tricks on you. It got so used to the unsteadiness of the boat It got so used to things moving just a little bit, it begins to make you think that you still are. But if you can get out and look at the horizon, it just kind of settles everything for you. When you're in a position in a walk with God and you have a foundation and all of a sudden it feels like things are moving, when things are feeling like they're shifting and you thought, man, I've got a prayer life. I've been praying. I've been walking with God. I don't know what's going on. I'm not on a boat. I'm not on shifting sand. I built my foundation. Why does it feel like I'm moving? Most of the time, it's because your eyes are on the wrong things. Your eyes aren't on the horizon of fixed path and direction that God has given you. You've somehow let your eyes shift to something else. We're putting our eyes on the wrong thing. Psalms chapter 73, verses 1 through 3. This is what David writes. David said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, verse 2 says, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Why? For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. David's eyes had gone from what God was to him to what God was supposedly doing for somebody else. God, he started looking at the foolish and he said, why are they prospering? And he began to feel a little bit shaky in his walk. He began to feel like things were moving underneath of him. The reality was he knew exactly who God was. He had a relationship with him. He had a foundation, but he was looking at the wrong things. Why do they get to prosper? Why does God bless them? Why does God allow those things to happen? Get your eyes off of everybody else and get them back on Jesus. It's not our business what God does. It rains on the just and the unjust. Rain can be good or rain can be bad. It's not our reasoning. We don't have to figure out why somebody else is getting blessed. If we stay firm on the foundation and we know that if I follow after him and I put him first in my life and priorities are right in my life, God's going to take care of everything else. It's not our job to fix everybody else's life. It's our job to stay on the foundation that God's put under us. It's not our job to figure out why everybody else can get away with something and we can't. Our job is to say, I've made something up in my mind. As for me and my house, I don't know what everybody else is going to do. I don't know what your decisions are. But for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to stand on a firm foundation. My eyes will be fixed on the horizon and the steps that God has laid out for me. And I'm not going to let myself slip because I see the prosperity of the wicked. David was looking at others, but he gets it right. Verse 26 of that same chapter, he said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever. Listen, you start feeling a little bit slippery in your walk with God, that's where you turn to. I don't know all of it. I can't figure it all out. I don't have the answers, but I do know this. God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever. I don't know where the answers are coming from, but I do know that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And so my heart may fail, and I may not know the answers, but God is the strength of my heart. God is my portion forever. You want to solidify yourself on a foundation? You wake up every morning and say, God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever. God is going to lead me and guide me. I don't have to put my eyes anywhere else but on the horizon of where God is pointing me. I don't understand how all that works, but I don't have to. My eyes just need to be on Jesus. My eyes just need to be on that horizon. He is my foundation. Matthew chapter 14. Jesus is done feeding the 5,000. They're done picking up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. And he tells his disciples, I want you to go get in a boat, get in that ship, and I want you to go over to the other side while I dismiss the crowd. So they do the same. They get in the boat. They start rowing across. And the Bible says it began to get a little bit windy and a little bit stormy. And about that time, Jesus came walking on the water to the disciples. They thought, it's a spirit. It's a ghost. Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's me. So Peter, being the loud one of the bunch, said, if it's you, bid me to come. I think you could have probably had a better test, Peter. Anybody could say, okay, come. Why don't you say, if it's you, what do we have for breakfast today? If it's you, what's my birthday? What's my wife's name? What's my account number? There's a lot of things you could have asked, but anybody could have said, come on. But Peter said, hey, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come on. And so Peter steps out of the boat in a windy and rocky sea, and the Bible says he begins to walk on the water. Jesus said, come on. He said, okay. He steps out of the boat and he begins to walk. Verse 30, though, says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He wasn't afraid when his eyes were on Jesus. When he said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come, he wasn't scared. The other disciples appeared to be. They weren't budging out of the boat. But Peter said, if it's you and you tell me to come, I'm getting out of this boat and I'm stepping out in faith. Come on, Peter. All right, I'm in the water. I'm looking at you and it's fine. But then his eyes go to his conditions around him. But when he saw the wind boisterous, when he saw all the storm going on around him, he began afraid and he said, I'm sinking. You've got to save me. You can't look at the wind and look at Jesus at the same time. You can't look at your valley and be looking square into the eyes of Jesus at the same time. You can't look at the problem facing your marriage and still be looking at Jesus at the same time. He said, hey, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Don't look at all this stuff moving around. Peter, get your eyes off of circumstance. Get your eyes off of the environment. Get your eyes on what's going on with me. Look at me. Walk to me. I'll grab your hand. I'll be with you. I will not forsake you. But Peter does what we all do time and time again. Jesus says, come. And in faith, we step out of the boat and we start walking just a couple steps. And all of a sudden, we feel the wind that we were protected from perhaps in the boat begin to hit us full force. Oh, I didn't know that was out here. Whoa, I didn't know that was coming. I just lost my job. I just had a serious health issue in my life. And all of a sudden, the one who called us out of the boat is now looking at us and we're not looking at him. Now we're looking at our health. Now we're looking at a doctor's report. Now we're looking at something that says we have an issue that needs to be fixed. Now we're looking at our debt. Now we're looking at our situation. And all of a sudden we say, help me, I'm sinking. Jesus said, hey, the only thing you have to do is look to me. I'm your firm foundation. Your wealth's not your firm foundation. I don't care how much money you have. It's not a firm foundation. Economies come and go. Jobs come and go. Bank accounts can come and go. Somebody say amen. That's not your firm foundation. If God's blessed you with a great bank account and a financial portfolio, praise God for it. But if we ever begin to think that's what we're standing on and that's how we're living and that's how we're surviving, we've missed the entire point. He said, come to me. Cast all your cares on me. Step out of the boat and walk to me. You can't look at the issue and be focused on him. Can't do it. Don't let the enemy trick you into believing that you're slipping or that your foundation isn't secure somehow. Because our enemy can bring that false sense of imbalance. And the reality is you're standing as firm as you ever had if you just put your eyes on the right thing. Put your eyes on who delivered you from the beginning. Put your eyes on who saved you from the beginning. Put your eyes on who lifted you up in the beginning. Put your eyes on who healed your spirit in the beginning. Don't get your eyes off of what has already transpired in your walk with God. So many times, we've built the right foundation. We may not do everything right, but we put priority in our walk with God and our time with him. We put priority in our prayer and we put priority in coming to the house of God and we put priority in trying to live right and trying to walk in the Spirit and all these things. We're making sure they're the right things. But one storm comes along and all of a sudden we feel a little off because our eyes begin to focus on the storm and not the person who controls the storm. I've just come to encourage somebody here today. If you've built a foundation with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, it's as secure today as it ever was. It's secure today. There's nothing that can shake you. The Bible says there's nothing that can pluck you from his hand. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. But you can make a choice. You can choose to step out of the will of God. You can choose to step off that foundation that you've built. If you want to, you can choose to be in a place of shifting sand. You can choose to do that. Or you can say, God, my eyes are just going to stay on you. It doesn't mean that Peter didn't feel the wind. It doesn't mean that he didn't perceive that there was a storm going on. We're not oblivious to things that are going on in our lives. We're not burying our head in the sand and acting like it's not going on. We just know who controls the wind. We know the person that can step out on a boat or on top of the water itself and say, "Peace, be still." And when you have that kind of relationship in your life, it doesn't matter what the storm is. It doesn't matter how high the waves are. It doesn't matter how fast the wind is, because you serve a God who in a moment can say, "Peace, be still." Wind will cease. Waves will be as glass. It can be like that in just a moment. So why do we worry? Why do we get so scared? We give Peter a hard time, but we do the exact same thing. "Well, Peter, you should have just trusted God." Well, did you do that when a bill came in this last couple weeks that you didn't know how to pay? Or did you start frantically panicking a little bit? "Well, what do I got to do?" Did you do that when you got a phone call you weren't expecting? Is that what you did, kept your eyes on Jesus? Or did you try to figure it out on your own? When you heard about an issue going on, did you go to that firm foundation in prayer? Or did you start reaching out to somebody else to see who can fix it? Listen, I'm all for doctors and surgeons and medicine. Absolutely. I believe that's a gift from God. And I thank Him for every time somebody goes to school and gets a degree and sets up in a hospital or a doctor's office and they can help us. That's absolutely a gift from God. But if that's our first choice every time for anything that goes wrong in our health, we're missing the point of our firm foundation. Because the Bible says that He can heal. By His stripes we are healed. He is a healer. So why would we not just go to that door first and say, "Lord, if you can heal me, I got a doctor's appointment next week. There's nothing wrong with that. But before I get there, God, if you want to intervene, I'm standing on a foundation that says you're a healer. So I'm going to trust you today. And I'm going to ask if you'll heal me first. Because if I don't have to go there next week, I'd be okay with it." Our enemy has fooled us into believing that we're on shifting sand, when the reality is we've just moved our eyes. We've just changed the course of what we're looking at. How important is it to consider what you're looking at? Well, ask Lot. Lot took the well-watered plains of Mamre when Abraham offered him whatever he wanted. And the Bible says he set his tent up facing Sodom. Still where he needed to be, still in the promised land, still where God had given all that property to him and Abraham, still within the confines of a walk with God, but his eyes were focusing on something else. Every day he'd walk into that tent or out of that tent, the first thing he saw and the last thing he saw before he went to bed was Sodom. And we don't find very many scriptures later he's in Sodom. We don't find very many scriptures later he loses his wife and his daughters are all into craziness. And because his eyes were focused onto something else. You want to ensure your walk with God and you want to ensure your foundation is firm, then you keep your eyes on Him. You make sure that you're set up facing Him. And when you go to bed every night and when you get up every morning, the first thing we look at is a walk with God, His Word, His prayer time. I'm going to make sure that my eyes are focused on the right thing, because wherever your eyes are pointing, your feet will follow. Your eyes are pointing into distress, and your eyes are pointing into depression, and your eyes are pointing into all that storm that's there. Your feet are going to follow. Or it's focused on Him and peace and love and joy and forgiveness and healing, then you're going to go walking right where your eyes are looking. Stand with me this morning. If you've not placed your trust in Him today, you can this morning. If you don't have the firm foundation to lean on and build on, you can have it today. If you've never repented, you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, all that can be yours today. You can walk out of here today with a firm foundation. Or maybe you've allowed yourself to listen to the voice of the enemy, and he's been speaking to you about how off balance you are and how there's no way you can make it, and how you must be off in the wrong direction because there's shifting things in your life, and how things seemed a little bit rough, that you're kind of stumbling into a wall on Tuesday before you ever get to the house of God on Wednesday. And something must be wrong with you, and you must not have your right relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, if you've established that already, it's still there. Your eyes just are wandering somewhere else. Why don't you come put your vision back where it needs to be today? Why don't you just take it off of everything that's going on? Take it off of the wind. Take it off of the waves. take it off of wondering why that person is doing this and why that person is doing that, and say, Lord, the only thing that matters right now is you. They said, you know how you fix that uneasiness in your stomach? You know how you fix that inability to walk straight on a boat? You go out and find the horizon. Say, all right, I need to fix myself on that thing which isn't moving. That's what he is today. He said he never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to ask you today as they begin to sing, if you've never had received the gift of the Holy Ghost and you like it, I'd ask you to come today. Never been baptized? We've got warm water. We've got robes. We'd be happy to do that for you today. Or maybe today you're here today and that's all been a part of your life. You have a foundation, but it seems a little shaky today. Today's a day where you just shift focus. Say, all right, God, I've taken my eyes and moved them somewhere else. My focus has been somewhere else. I'm going to put it right back where it needs to be. Doesn't mean I don't have that doctor's appointment. It doesn't mean I don't have that bill. It doesn't mean I don't have that problem. But I'm not focusing on that. I'm focusing on you. Because if I'm focused on you, you can handle everything else. If I trust you enough to let you. As they sing today, I wonder if you'd find a place to pray. Come on, somebody's been dealing with this shiftiness in your life. This stuff that's just kind of moving around and it's got you rattled a little bit in your walk with God. And really questioning where you're at with God. It's not a matter of your foundation. It's a matter of your focus. God, I trust you. I can't figure this out, but I do trust you. I'm going to let you worry about everything else. I'm going to put my eyes on you. I'm going to let you fix everything else. I'm just going to focus on you. I'm just going to get in your word. I'm just going to get encouragement from your word. I'm going to get encouragement from your spirit. Come on today, somebody, this is for you. You can walk out of here with an assurance that your foundation is as firm as it ever was. He's not left you. He's not walked away from you. You've not done something that's pushed him out of your life. I'm just shifting my focus. Come on, that's it. All over this place, would you just raise your hands and begin to talk to God? Lord, I pray right now that you'd speak to somebody's life. God, who's been questioning and doubting and wondering, what happened and where'd my walk with God go? Where's my firm foundation? I can't find it. I'm struggling with these things going on in my life. Lord, I pray that you would just call them. Say, hey, come to me. Walk to me. Put your eyes on me. I've got you. I'm not going to let you sink. I'm not going to let you fail. I've got everything that you need right in the palm of my hand today. Somebody, why don't you just reach out to him right now? He's waiting patiently. He's asking you to step out of the boat. I trust you today, God. Listen, that last line of that bridge right there is so important. I sought the Lord, he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. How can you trust him? Because I've seen him do it before. How can you trust him? Because I've seen him heal my friend and my family. How can you trust him? Because I've seen him make a way. You may not know how. You don't have to know how. You don't have to know all the answers. You just know that he can. When Jesus healed the blind man and the Pharisees were questioning him and saying, what happened to you? And this is this or this or this. And he said, listen, I don't know anything but the fact that this morning I was blind and now this afternoon I can see. You don't have to know the how or the why or the ins and the outs. You just say, I don't know. He's a healer. That's why I trust him. I sought him, he heard me, and he healed my vision, and I trust him. That's all you have. It's simple faith today. I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but I trust that you can, and I trust that you will. So I put my faith in you, and I put my trust in you, and I get my eyes off of everything else, because moving my eyes is a sense of discouragement. It begins to feel shifting in my life, and so no, I'm not going to do that. I'm putting my eyes on the horizon, that thing that doesn't change, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. Hallelujah. Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Lord, I know your spirit is still speaking to somebody's heart today. Somebody who's struggled even this week with shifting in their life and questions in their life. Where's my vision at, God? I want to make sure every morning I get up, my vision is on you. Before I go to bed at night, my eyes are on you. I want you to be what I put my trust in. I want you to be what I trust, and I want you to put out my steps in front of me. God, I trust you in all of these things. I pray, God, that you would give us the strength and the courage to say, Whatever you will, God, I'll do. Whatever you say, I'll do. Whatever you ask of me, I'll do. Because you handle everything else. I just trust you. I just stand on your foundation. The chief cornerstone. Firm. Unmoving. You're able, God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody needs to just chew on this today. Go home this afternoon and let God kind of move some things over in your mind. Tomorrow evening when you're doing your devotions, let God begin to bring some of this back to you. Because God's speaking to somebody here today. You felt a little bit of things moving in your life and it startled you. You're wondering where your walk with God is. It's where you, right where you left it. Just get your eyes on Him. Pick it up and go from here. It's not gone. You don't have to rebuild it. Just go.